Okay, welcome to group call. We're doing now two group calls a month for this case study program just because of time differences. So, for example, people in Europe can't make this time because it's 4 a.m. for a lot of them. So this is an ideal time for people in the U.S. and also in Australia. But we did 2 weeks ago, we did a group call that was very European friendly. It was 8 o'clock at night Australia time, and probably a lot of people, or Eastern Australia time anyway, and a lot of people may not have been on that call. And in that last call, I was talking about this magnesium spray that I just found, and I want to talk a little bit about that. But before I do, I'll just tell you about the call. We've got I want to introduce someone who's got a great story, a real inspirational person, and who's going to be a new Gabriel Method coach, Greg Dinkin. We're going to hear from him and hear his story. We're going to also hear from a case study member, Aileen, if she can join us, to hear her story. It's also very inspirational. So stay with us, and then we will take any questions that you have. And that's the purpose, really, of us sort of come together, share ideas, share inspiring stories, and answer any questions. So before we do, and before we get started, I just want to talk about this magnesium spray again for anyone that wasn't listening, and just a follow-up on it. So I did this interview with a doctor named Carolyn Dean, who's been studying magnesium for the last 30 years, and she's written several books on it. And I had to ask her, you know, why so much about magnesium? Why spend 30 years researching magnesium? And she said, well, magnesium is essential for making energy in your body. And basically, in order for our muscles to move, we need something called ATP, which is adenine triphosphate. It doesn't matter what it is, but it's called ATP. You cannot make ATP without magnesium. So if you have no magnesium, you can't make the energy in your body to move. If you can't make the energy in your body to move, you're tired all the time, and you're craving sweets all the time, which a lot of us find us in that situation. And she says getting magnesium in your body is a great way to change all that. You have more energy. You have less stress in your body. Your body's running better metabolically, and you can lose weight. And she's had tremendous successes. She says the problem is twofold. Actually, it's threefold. So number one, there's no magnesium in our food anymore. There used to be magnesium in our soil. There's not much magnesium in our food. And, of course, when you process food, there's not much of anything in it. So not much magnesium in our food. Magnesium supplements don't get absorbed well. Only about 4% of a magnesium supplement gets absorbed. And even when we do get magnesium, it's not getting into the cells of our body, because frequently when you have weight problems and your fat programs are on, you have this condition that I talk about all the time called insulin resistance, which means that your cells are resistant to insulin. You're not getting nutrients into your cells because they're not listening to insulin. Now, insulin's job is to allow sugar and other nutrients into the cells. But if the cell's not listening, you can get those nutrients in. One of those nutrients is magnesium. So you're not getting magnesium in your food. Magnesium supplements aren't getting absorbed. What little magnesium does end up in your bloodstream isn't getting absorbed into your cells. What does that mean? That means that we're all chronically starved for magnesium. And that means that we're exhausted all the time and we're hungry all the time. Because if you don't have energy to move, you're going to look for energy in the form of a pizza. I mean, that's the only alternative that you have. So that's where we're at. And we don't realize this. Now, I happen to get a lot of magnesium in my food anyway because I eat a lot of greens. Now, if you look at greens, the reason why green leafy vegetables are green is because they have something called chlorophyll in it. Chlorophyll is the blood of plants. Now, inside the center of a chlorophyll molecule is magnesium. The same way that inside our blood, the center of our blood is a iron molecule or an iron atom, inside a chlorophyll is magnesium. So if you're eating live green leafy vegetables, you are getting magnesium, and you're getting it in a relatively assimilatable way. Now, I eat tons and tons of greens in the form of green juices and salads. I love them. So I happen to be getting a lot of magnesium. Also, that condition of insulin resistance in my own body has gone away, so it's getting absorbed. So there's a newfound energy in me that I didn't used to have. Now, what she said, one solution that's really good is a magnesium spray. Because it's like a salt spray that you spray on your body, and studies have shown that when it goes through the skin, it gets absorbed much higher than when you take it as a supplement. So she recommends you just spray it on your skin at night before you go to sleep. I started doing that, and I definitely felt a difference. And so anyway, we talked about this 2 weeks ago in our group meeting, And I got a call from one of the ladies in the case study yesterday. She said it was giving her, it was starting to irritate her skin. Now, that could either be kind of like a detoxification reaction, or it could be an allergic reaction from having sensitive skin. But and so if that's been happening to you, if you have been using the magnesium spray, if there's any kind of irritation, then maybe back off from doing that. But keep in mind the importance of magnesium, and at the very least, load up on greens as much as possible to get the magnesium. And also doing all the other things that we do, the visualization, the stress reduction, the omega-3s, are going to help your body become more sensitive to insulin, so you'll absorb nutrients better. So having more magnesium in a real bioavailable form like greens, and having this condition reversed, this insulin resistance reversed, will solve the problem. So it's an important thing, and if you try the magnesium spray and it doesn't bother your skin, such as like it doesn't bother mine, and most people it doesn't bother, then I recommend it really highly. So that's just a little tip for the day. She also this Carolyn Dean is talking about calcium, and I've written a couple of blogs recently about calcium. I've been doing a lot of research on it, and we take these calcium supplements because we think it's good for us. It's going to give us strong, healthy bones, but the reality is that calcium supplements are not very bioavailable. They end up being calcium deposits in our joints, which causes calcification, which causes inflammation, and that inflammation, the hormones involved in inflammation activate the fat programs. So, and then she said that she's finding that women are getting premature hardening of the arteries because of calcification in the arteries. So, another doctor that I've been speaking to, I've been doing a lot of interviewing recently, Dr. Ron Rosedale, who I think is absolutely brilliant, doesn't believe in taking calcium because part of the metabolic process is for the cell to eliminate calcium. And he said that strong bones don't come from calcium, they come from the protein matrix and from reversing this insulin resistance so that you can absorb nutrients and expel nutrients in a more balanced way. So anyway, I always say you choose your doctor, and that's up to you, but then you follow your doctor's advice. So make sure you're choosing a doctor that's understanding the intricacies and the subtleties behind the nutrients and the supplements, the best way to get them in, and which ones to avoid based on what the modern mainstream research that's coming out. So just a couple of tips and thoughts on that. Anyway, just to get started here, I wanted to introduce one of our newest coaches, a good personal friend of mine who's also my literary agent. He helped make my book famous to the world by selling it to Beyond Words, a very large publisher in the States, and then ultimately having the book spread into 60 countries and 14 languages. So he's been an instrumental part of the Gabriel Method for about 5 years. He's had a tremendous weight loss success in his own journey, very knowledgeable and inspiring person. He's going to be one of our coaches. So I want to bring Greg on and have a quick chat with him if we can. So Greg, are you there?
I'm here, yes.
Hey, Greg, how are you going?
I'm fantastic, thank you.
Great. Two things I want to say. It's great to talk to you, but it's also I'm really, really excited that you've become one of our coaches. I know that you've lived it, you understand the Gabriel Method inside and out, and you have lived it yourself, and you've followed your own path, which is very similar, and you've been really, really successful. So why don't you tell us a little bit about your weight loss journey?
Well, you know, now that I've been coaching and I've talked to about a dozen people so far, it's been really interesting. And, you know, one of the things I think that's tough, really the hardest thing for me to get my arms around, and I think for a lot of Westerners especially, is, you know, I come from this, you know, sports background and sort of a type A personality background where it's all about doing more and doing more. And if I work out harder and diet more, I'm going to have better success. So really the hardest thing for me was just understanding that really less is more. And honestly, I didn't really buy it at first.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I just wanted to say a couple of things. So Greg was, you get a scholarship to football at one a major university in the States?
Yeah, Cornell. At one point, I was close to 300 pounds, and I discovered John's book when I was in Thailand doing a detox spa. So I've always struggled with my weight.
Yeah.
And you know,
go ahead.
Go ahead.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
So one, one of the things I was going to say is, so I have this notion of, like, I have to do more. And like a lot of people that I'm coaching, like, I was very disciplined. I ran a marathon. I fasted for 15 days. And I always believed that I had to work harder. And when I came across the Gabriel Method, just really I resisted it quite a bit. And I had to go to Australia and meet you and live with you for a week because I sort of thought, well, John's probably secretly running six miles a day, and he's at the gym 10 hours, and he's really dieting. I had to really see it, you know, and watch you and also understand the science. And the more I learned from you and the more I research about hormones and about leptin and about cortisol, it now makes sense. But that to me was a really big shift to understand that, often it is stress, it is hormonal that's putting the weight on us, and that we can actually just surrender and do less.
Yeah, I just want to say that, Greg is also, he's got a very colored background. Greg is also a professional poker player. As a matter of fact, he placed second in a poker competition and won $100,000. And when he came out to visit me in Western Australia, he first went to the casino in Perth and made about $1,700 before he came down. And that's sort of a side game, literally, that he has. So he's a poker player. And I knew when he came down, he was coming to test me, you know, using his poker skills. And I remember we went out to eat, and at the end of we're in the middle of a conversation. At the end of dinner, he orders this big chocolate cake, and I knew he wanted to order it to see if I was tempted, if I was staring at it, and I knew he was doing this. And so I'm talking to him. I'm totally ignoring this chocolate cake, and he's eating it, and he's passing the fork kind of extra in my view to see if I'd follow it. And finally, in the middle of the conversation, he says something like, "Do you want some of this cake?" And I just sort of said, no, that's okay. But he came down, and he was sort of applying his poker logic to see if he could find some flaws. But the reality is that chocolate cake at the time and still now doesn't do anything for me. And I found it with many other people. And this less is more concept as far as exercise is something that I very much live. And we just made a, I don't know if you know this, we just made a Gabriel Method fitness video. We haven't finished editing yet, and it'll be out by year end, but we spent a weekend, it was an amazing weekend. We filmed 9 different scenes with 8 people and 4 cameras over the weekend, biking, running, but the idea of doing very short, intense type things with visualization behind it to change your internal chemistry. We're actually calling them work-ins, not work-outs, because it's changing your internal chemistry, because it's really about changing your internal chemistry when it comes to diet and exercise, not about calories in, calories out. And like you say, when you understand the subtleties of the different hormones that are involved in weight loss and weight gain, you see that it's the hormonal changes that are from your eating and the hormonal changes from your exercise that are more important than the calories in and calories out. So you understand that concept very well now, don't you?
Yeah, look, and if you're a science person who's a researcher and who wants evidence like me, I mean, you can do the research. And John's, the Gabriel Method is really supported by this biochemistry. If you're not into all those details, the beauty is everything about the program ties that in. So the evening visualization, the morning visualization, adding omega-3. So for those of you who are very science-oriented and want more evidence, it's out there. And for those of you who really don't want the details, you can trust that this has all been incorporated into the method.
Yeah. So you went on to lose about 100 pounds, is that right?
I lost 100 pounds. And the one thing I do want to share with everybody is I've probably put back on 20 or 30 pounds. And, I feel like we definitely teach what we need to learn. I'm still learning, and I still feel like I want this to be more effortless. And one thing I come across a lot in talking to the people I'm working with is, a very double-sided issue, which is on one hand, this belief, because I have this, I'm speaking from experience, that, hey, I have a slow metabolism, or I have fat genes, or I was kind of born, with a little bit of a disadvantage. On one hand, I think that can be very limiting, and this belief that, like, your body's working against you can really slow you down. I think the other side of that coin, and I think some people can relate to this, is we all do have different chemistry, and we have different body types, and the weight's going to fall off some of us quicker than others. So And we ought to have compassion. We're not all meant to, you know, be a size 2 or to have an 8-pack. So that's something I really struggle with myself and I'm working on and even talking to people. That on one hand, we really need to, you know, have solid belief systems and understand that when we support our body, it will work with us, and also have the compassion and the patience to say, hey, like, my body's going to go at its own pace.
I think that's excellent. I agree with that 100%. And it is, it's very much not, it's not a one-size-fits-all approach. It's a concept, basically. And the concept is when you reduce the stresses, whether they're mental, emotional, or physical, or even in the form of belief systems, which can be stresses, when you reduce the stresses that cause your body to want to hold on to weight and you impose principles that get your body to want to be thinner, then it does happen. It's just a question, and it happens very automatically at that point. It's a question of application for everybody. And everybody's in a different situation. And I think also, Greg, it's easy to kind of get stuck in the body type mentality, but also at the same time, I find that emotional and stress type of issues are far bigger concerns. So you can sort of have this feeling, well, my whole family's heavy. And if you look at my family background and you look at me when I was over 400 pounds, you would have said, well, you know, that's his body type. But, you know, the reality is it wasn't really my body type. It was just the stresses that I was under. So I think it's important to acknowledge these type of considerations, but in my experience at this point, other considerations, stress, belief systems, as you say, emotional issues, and for you there might be other issues which I can talk about in a second. But these things are bigger considerations. Now, with you, I'll just mention, as an athlete and as a football player, I have found that when you once had extra like a lot of muscle, if you don't keep that muscle up, one of the things that's going to happen is that the muscle will start to atrophy, or even though it won't look like it because you had so much muscle and now you have less muscle now, it doesn't look like it's atrophying because you still have muscle, but if it's not being used on a regular basis, there's a subtle atrophy that takes place. Now, that process of atrophy causes insulin resistance. It's like the muscle doesn't need to soak up sugar so that it's not going to be listening to insulin. And so I have found with people that were once very athletic, and I think it was the case for me too, because I was athletic in university. So when you're very athletic as a kid, if you don't do certain things, and you don't have to do as much, but you have to do certain intensity type of things to keep the muscles from atrophying so that you reverse that insulin resistance. So intensity type of resistance work, I'm talking about 4 to 5 minutes, 10 minutes max, four times a week, but intensity type of stuff with a visualization will prevent that from happening. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. I agree. And the one thing I just want to add is that when I was most convinced of the Gabriel method is when I was really at the most balanced in my life. I was at peace. I was in love. And a whole day went by, and I actually forgot to eat. And I couldn't believe it. And I was like, wow, yeah. You know, John says naturally thin people will just forget to eat. And never in my life have I not thought about it, and like an entire day passed where I just didn't eat. And when I really was most at peace, most in love, and in balance, I just didn't think about food as much.
Yeah, and you know, and I find that with people, anytime I get the call from people, and you know, case study members that are listening, you will probably encounter this over the next couple of months. Well, these people call me up and they say, I don't know what's wrong with me. I'm not that hungry anymore. And then they're worried because I tell them you got to eat a good breakfast. You got to do this. You got to do that. And I say, look, when you're not hungry anymore, that means your body wants to lose weight. All the rules go out the window at that time. Let it happen. Miss the meals that you want to miss. Let your body go naturally. As long as when you are hungry, you're not craving junk food, you can make good food choices, then that's just your body's way of wanting to lose weight. And I've experienced that. I've also experienced times when I'm just hungry all the time. It doesn't necessarily mean my body wants to gain weight. It just means that that's the cycle that I'm in, you know, where sometimes I won't eat that much, sometimes I will. And you can let it happen in a natural way, but it will happen pretty much to everyone at a certain point when the issues are addressed and your body doesn't want to hold on to weight anymore, your body will just not be that hungry. And you know, I don't want to talk too much about chemistry, but I figured out a really simple way to describe the hormone leptin, which I want to describe to you. And by the way, I just want to say to everybody that's listening, if you have any questions, just press 1 and we'll take your question. We will have plenty of time for questions. So press 1 now so that we know that you have questions and we make sure that we take them. I know we have one or two holding at the moment, but if you do have questions, press 1. But just to talk about this one hormone for just 1 second, because I figured out a good way, easy way to explain it, is the hormone leptin. Now, leptin is the master hormone that controls how fat or thin our body wants to be. Leptin is made by your fat cells, and it travels through your bloodstream, and it's the way your body communicates to your brain how fat you are. So how does your brain know how much fat you're carrying? The more fat you have on your body, the more leptin you have on your body. And so your brain, that leptin travels through your bloodstream to your brain, and your brain goes, oh, look how much fat we have. And if you have too much fat, because it's unhealthy to have too much fat, and even for survival reasons, if you were living in an environment thousands of years ago where you were being chased by tigers, and that's something we try to mimic with our Gabriel Method of Fitness, your body would say, wow, we've got too much fat. Look at all this fat. We can't run away from tigers. So when your body gets the message based on leptin that you've got too much fat on your body, that is when your brain gets the message, your brain says, whoa, let's lose weight. You speed up your metabolism, and your hunger gets turned off like a light switch. So your brain, in essence, knows how to get you to lose weight if it wants to. Now, when your fat programs are on, due to stresses, the stresses that we talk about, there's a condition called leptin resistance where basically your brain stops listening to leptin. So no matter how much leptin you have on your body, your brain acts as if you have zero fat on your body. Your brain actually doesn't know how much fat you have anymore. The signal has been interrupted. So you could have you could have 200 pounds of extra fat on your body like I once did, and your brain thinks you've got zero fat on your body. So what's going to happen? Your brain's going to go, my God, we've got zero fat on our bodies. We've got to keep eating and eating and eating. And that's the condition that everybody's in, and that's the condition that has to be reversed. And through the process of the Gabriel Method, we're reversing this condition of leptin resistance. And what happens and what you experience, Greg, and what everybody experiences at a certain point is the leptin resistance goes away. Way and your brain actually gets to see how much fat you have on your body, and your brain goes, my God, look at all this fat. Where did all this fat come from? And then it just shuts everything down. Speed your metabolism, turn off the hunger, get rid of this fat. Where did it all come from? It's like this overnight thing happens where your brain says, my God, we just must have gained 200 pounds overnight. So that's what's going on in your brain. And it's not about calories in, calories out. It's not about doing more exercise. It's about changing that so that your brain can hear the message of leptin so your brain knows how much fat you have in your body. And that's what you experience. And that's when it all works. And so when someone calls me and says to me, I'm not hungry anymore. I don't know what's wrong with me. I say, bingo. There's nothing wrong with you. The leptin resistance has been reduced. Your brain knows how much fat you have in your body. It wants to get rid of it. Does that make sense?
So, John, when I ate that chocolate cake, I wasn't testing you. I just my brain just didn't realize how much leptin I had on my body.
Okay, all right, fair enough. I've been harboring a different notion for a long time, but I'll accept that.
Maybe it was a little bit of
both. Look, I wasn't saying you weren't enjoying it. I was just feeling like you were trying to kill two birds with one stone. That's all.
Yeah.
Anyway,
no,
listen, Greg, I'm really
a little bit of both.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, I'm really happy to have you as a coach. Very happy, in fact, and I'm sure everybody else will that you're going to be working with. So, I hope you get a chance to participate in some of these calls too on a regular basis, because it's always good to hear, to check in and see what everyone else is doing. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll say that to the people I'm coaching and everyone in the case study is we love working with you, but it's only once a month. So take advantage of all these resources, use the recipes. Join these calls, you know, get on the forums, you know, really, like, you have a great opportunity here, and you know, John really cares, and everyone else here supporting him does as well. So, yes, we love talking to you once a month, and, you know, really get all you can out of this, because it's a great opportunity.
Yeah, I agree. And the other thing I'm going to add to that is whatever the items are when you work through with your coach, whatever the checklist is for the month, listening to specific visualizations in the morning and the evening, drinking more water, probiotics, whatever the action steps are, just focus on those couple simple focus on those couple simple action steps, and that's gonna make all the difference in the world. They're simple things, but they're gonna change your chemistry. Also, call in and talk to me. I've made myself available. I want to talk to you. So I just want to add that. So, all right, Craig. So thanks very much for coming on the call this month, and look forward to working with you.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks. All right, let's talk to Aileen. I spoke to Aileen yesterday. She's a case study member, and I think she's doing great. And it's been a gradual process for her, but you're going to be able to hear in her voice that it's a transformation, not just about weight for her. You know, you can just hear there's just more light, there's more love, there's just more consciousness. And that's really what it is about. It's a transformation of body and mind. So, I just asked her to come on and talk a little bit with us. So, Aileen, are you there?
Yes. Can you hear me?
I can. Aileen, thank you very much for coming on today.
Oh, John, I just love to hear from you and to tell everyone on our journey. This is a great thing, and I'm so excited to talk with them.
Tell me a little bit about your story, please.
Okay, basically, when I was very young, like 9 years old, my pediatrician got it into his head that I might look great if I was twiggy. So even though I didn't really have a weight problem, he was encouraging my family to, you know, be like a 60s supermodel or something. And I wanted to please, so I did what they said. And basically what it formed in me from an early age was an inability to understand what my body was saying, so that I was always mixed up and couldn't tell messages that it was giving to me. I was always taking the wrong direction. And I certainly had the discipline to not eat, because I grew up where they acted like food was a necessary evil. So it didn't taste good. I didn't have any comfort food around me. You know, I was expected to go to kind of German camp for the summer where you did nothing but push-ups and sit-ups.
Yeah.
And And so I really lost my ability to understand myself. And for you, when I came across you, I'd had different roads kind of coming to you from different directions, things that I was thinking. But when I came to you, like 40 years after all this happened, I realized that you were giving me my owner's manual to my body and letting me finally hear what it was saying and really appreciate it for no matter what stupid things I did, my body always had me dressed in my suit of stress-free because I had this cushioning around me.
Yeah. 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 That's a common story, and I got to tell you, I've heard it so many times. You know, it started when my parents took me to this doctor, that doctor, the Weight Watchers, all this type of thing. And you know, you're a little kid, you want to please. And I've heard that so many times. One of the things that I really loved about what you said yesterday is, you know, you said you lost 12 inches on your waist, which I guess is what, maybe about 35, 40 centimeters.
I think
it's like
30 and a half centimeters or something.
30 centimeters, yeah. So you lost 12 inches, 30 centimeters on your waist. And I asked you how much weight you lost, and you said that you don't weigh yourself. And I love that. I love the fact that you have no idea, that you've gotten rid of that obsession. That you know, and I see people in the forum that, oh my God, you know, I gained 500 grams, I lost 200 grams, but then I gained another 100 grams. You know, I see this obsession that ruins people's lives, and you have no idea. You just know that you're losing weight.
Oh, yeah. If my rings are loose, I'm thinking, yeah, this is a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think No, go ahead.
I'm sorry? Yeah, no, I love that. Yeah, all I was going to say is I just totally love the way you have so cleared yourself of obsession, you know, so thoroughly that you don't even look at that.
Well, it made so much sense to me when you were saying, that a lot of people blame themselves that somehow they didn't tweak this, they didn't do that, didn't do whatever. You know, I was actually bulimic for 15 years. So I so ignored my body that I wasn't ever very hungry. I mean, I didn't like binge and then purge. I just ate a little bit of soft food and then purged. So I never had any food. And I started to realize that it was actually quite hollow. In my mid-30s, I was scuba diving, and I wasn't heavy. I was, I guess, 130 pounds, 135 pounds. I don't know what that is in kilos. And I was scuba diving, and they made me put on 75 pounds of weight to get down and full tanks. And the minute I started using the tanks, I started to float up like I was having an out-of-body experience. I went up by my legs first, and, you know, nobody knew where I was, and I'm, like, overhead going, I'm up here. And, you know, they had to keep me down with an anchor or something. And I realized that, you know, at first I thought, well, I must be fat, and that's what's making me float. But no, I think I didn't have any oomph to my bones. I mean, I was muscular because they made me do a lot of exercise, because I was in the Navy at the time, and, you know, you had to do mandatory exercise. So I had muscle, but I didn't have any bones. I'm just lucky I didn't hurt myself. But now I can be in a hot tub and I don't flow away. So it's a good thing.
That's a good. So what was a turning point for you that got you in a healthy situation where you started losing weight and where it became somewhat automatic the way it is now?
Well, really listening to your visualizations. The night one I do automatically without thinking, it just clicks on. And at one point, I'm embarrassed to say, I was losing like 1 or 2 inches a week, and I thought, oh, you know, this can't be right. Something's wrong. And the other thing that was kind of strange was a lot of people that I know didn't notice. You know, I looked like, you know, I had a kettle drum around my stomach, but when that started to go away, people didn't seem to notice. I don't know. Seems weird. But so I was like, oh, well, maybe this is an illusion or something. But I think maybe I just couldn't take how good it was.
That's amazing. And now you're feeling good. You've got energy. Your life's good. You're happy. Talk to me.
Yeah. I mean, really, you've taught me a lot of things. And one of the big ones is ego, garbage in, garbage out, just like a computer. I've been getting garbage information. I've been getting garbage food, and garbage was coming out. So now I really am super keen on what I eat, what I drink, even how I interact with people. If someone's, you know, trying to manipulate my mood, I can put a shield up, and it doesn't have to be a shield of stress. I can just say, oh, well, you know, let me try to help you, or I've got to turn away from this because you're dragging me down. In fact, I have a joke with my husband. You're stressing me, hon. So anytime he's like, you know, starts to tell me about things that I am not so sure I want to care about, I'm like, I want to care about things that are important to us, not other people's woes.
That's great. That's called healthy boundaries, which are essential in a relationship.
Yeah, I think
especially for successful weight loss.
Oh, yeah. And your boundary information was so important because, you know, I'm 53 now, and I started to not be able to sleep really well. I didn't know, you know, I didn't get married till 15 years ago, so I lived a life without sleeping with another person in my bed. So, you know, when it changed, I'm like, whoa.
Yeah.
And I think what you said about boundaries, even though it's good things and you're happy, it can still be so different from the way you're used to living your life.
Exactly. And if you don't have healthy boundaries, your body's going to enforce your boundaries in the form of weight.
Yeah, because you just want to say, this is my space. That's why
exactly.
I'm thinking of when you gain weight, it's kind of a suit of trying to make yourself less stressed by these things around you. Just like I thought it was brilliant when you said, you know, when you sprain your ankle, it gets fat, you know, it gets heavy, it inflates
exactly.
all around it.
Exactly.
And that's
exactly.
that's just your body. I mean,
it's exactly right. Inflammation is a swelling of an area to protect a wound, an injury. Now, if the injury is an emotional injury, it's everywhere. It's not in any one place. And your body doesn't understand what an emotion is or emotions or thoughts. Everything translates to physical space in terms of your body. So if you've got an injury, an emotional injury, a wound, your whole body is going to swell up to protect you. And that's exactly what inflammation is. And that's what one of the ways the body uses inflammation to heal, and it's also the way the body uses weight. And coincidentally or not, who knows, the hormones involved in inflammation activate the fat programs.
Yeah, I think it's a give and take because, you know, your body's seeing this stress or taking it as an attack. And so
yeah.
You've got two choices. You can run from the attack, or you can sort of, I'm a castle and you just throw anything you want at me, I'm just gonna sit here.
Yeah. So, you know, you look in nature how different survival strategies in animals. So some is to become so fast that hopefully nothing can catch you like a deer, and others to become so small that nothing can see you or catch you like a mouse, and another is to become so big that anything can catch you, but they can't touch you. You know, so those are survival strategies, and we see ourselves acting out those survival strategies. So one person may react to stress by becoming so tiny, like I spoke to an anorexic once, that just wanted to become invisible. And another person is going to want to become bigger and bigger because they can't run away from the threat, and they just have to find another way to protect themselves. So weight is very much a form of protection. You do have to address the root cause, the issue of the protection, in order for the weight to come off. And when you do, like I said, that whole switch goes off with leptin, where your body says, oh, my God, we have all this fat, or your brain says that, and the weight goes off. So that's really what works, and that's what we're doing here in these 6 months. But anyway, Aileen, I want to stay in closer contact with you because I just find you a very inspirational person, and maybe invite you to give some other talks if you're willing, you know, it's from other calls, if you don't mind. And,
oh,
and
I would
in the meantime,
just love to do that. That would be so
okay.
cool, John. I would love to do
right,
that,
beautiful.
But I have to remind you, I'm still on my journey.
Okay. How many inches do you have left? I'm not going to ask you how much weight.
I don't know. I think I should probably try for about 4 inches more.
That's
and
beautiful.
Kind of...
That's really beautiful. That tells me that you're really in a good place. And maybe, but I would caution you not to get, you know, that old programming from the pediatrician that you need to look like Twig in order to be loved. You know, my guess is you're probably right where you need to be. And if you lost another inch along the way, that'd be great. But I think it sounds to me like you're in a great place.
Oh, yeah. And really, it's thanks to you and people that have called on the show, because Christine, when she was saying with her 11 children, I believe, she said,
yeah.
you know, you've got to take the oxygen mask first, and then
yeah.
you can help
that.
Other people. And, you know, I just
that.
Love being able to encourage someone to, you know, shed those things because it might be a protection. I know a lot of times when you're very heavy, people don't even see you, and maybe you want that, but you just shed it because it's not, your body loves you, and it's trying the best it can, but you're putting a lot of stress on it you don't need to do.
Yeah. Well, it's about feeling loved, and it's about being safe feeling loved, and these are the type of things that we try to help instill through, you know, different practices and visualizations that we do, and they really are crucial.
Yeah, and you've encouraged me in a spiritual way that I hadn't realized I had an aspect of. So it's a win-win for me.
Beautiful. I'm really happy. It's such a pleasure to hear your story. So I'm going to take some other calls, and I will be in touch, Aileen. And of course, call me whenever you want to talk. But I will be in touch because I find your story very, very inspirational. So thanks very much.
Oh, thank you, John.
My pleasure. Take care.
Bye now.
Bye. That was Aileen, everyone. I feel like saying, you know, let's give her a round of applause. We can't hear it, unfortunately, on the call, but that was Aileen, and we're all giving you a round of applause, honey. So thank you. Okay, so let's talk to Sue in New Jersey. She's got a couple of questions. Then we've got Carla in Melbourne. And if there's any others, I think we have a couple of more questions after that. So if you have a question, raise one to put your hand up, and we'll talk to you. So let's talk to Sue.
Hi.
Sue, are you there?
I am. How you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Great. I'm so glad to get through. You might have answered one of my questions already, but I'm going to swing by it again. I had three, one easy one and then two a little bit more difficult. The easy one, I think, is the cookbook. Is there any way to get a hard copy of that? Because I've been trying to print
it
out
a few pages. I'll tell you what, I'm in negotiation with publishers right now. To get a hard copy, physical copies in the States. So realistically it's 3 to 6 months away. But if you email admin@gabrielmethod.com, that's Shannon. I don't know if you've talked to her. So admin@gabrielmethod.com. If you really, really want one, we can send one from Australia, but the postage is going to be very expensive. That's the only thing. I can try to swing you like a discount on the sticker price, but the postage is kind of hefty. So I mean, if you don't want to wait the 3 to 6 months, we can send one from overseas, but I'd have to weigh it out,
you know, because I'm printing it on my printer at home, so all the ink and you know what I mean. So it might be a wash. It might be better to just get the book. So okay, I will.
Okay, so and the book is quite, I find, like, visually it's really appealing, and I think that they did a great job. So anyway, but if not, you know, it's 3 to 6 months and we'll have it in stores in the U.S.
Okay.
Was that the hard
you.
Question or the easy one?
That was the easy one. Okay, and the other two are a little, maybe, I don't know if they're difficult or not, but exercise for me is still a challenge. So, I mean, I found out about you in July, and I got right into the six-week class, and now I'm in the case study. And I've really made some tremendous strides in the food, but the exercise is still an issue. I have a mental block that is exercises, boo hiss. You know, rather than yay. And it's just really something I just don't want to do it. I like to walk, and so I do that. I like to row, and I do that. I like to dance. But none of those things are exercise to me. As soon as I use the word exercise, it's a negative. So I'm just
can be really effective forms of movement, or not to use the E word, but they can be effective. Let me ask you a question. How much weight are you wanting to lose?
Between 40 and 50 pounds.
And how long have you had a weight issue?
Oh, since puberty.
Okay, and how are you dealing with some of the stresses in your life, whether it's relationships or work, children, physical things? How is your overall stress load now?
Right now it's at peak because I'm about to lose my job. They're changing our job descriptions and they're going to be eliminating a lot of people. So I've been doing the visualizations religiously. I mean, definitely the night one. Then 2 a.m, I do the Safe and Protected and Abundant Life. And then I take a walk at lunchtime and I listen to the Living Goddess. And I'm just really trying to reduce that stress level.
Yeah, I got you. Okay, so then let me answer your question. You leave the exercise alone for now, because when your stress level is over the top, because keep in mind exercise is a stress. Now, when you get your stress level in check, and you don't exercise too much, you know, like 4, 5, 10 minutes, but with peak intensity for 10 seconds at a time. When you do that type of exercise, it can turn into a good stress. But even doing that type of exercise when your stress load is too much, the overall net effect is going to be too much stress. So I think your instincts are right for now. Really right. Dance, walk, row, meditate, yoga, anything that's going to bring you peace right now, and of course the visualizations, and eating as much really healthy food. I think you're, given the situation you're in right now, two things. One, I think your instincts are 100% correct, and I think what you're doing is perfect. So leave the exercise alone for a couple of months. The other thing is my instincts tell me that this thing that you're going through right now is going to end up being a blessing in disguise. I'm only saying this because there's no logical reason, obviously. I don't know anything about your situation, but I've talked to so many people, and I have found that when you start this process, you go through changes. In a sense, it's almost like your energy changes, your vibration changes, you're lighter, and the world reflects back to you in a different way. So where you were, you know, before you started that 6-week course, you were a different person in a sense. You were kind of thicker, you know, you weren't eating as healthy foods, your mind wasn't as light. So you were in a thicker kind of place, and the job that you were in, the life you were in was thicker. It was reflecting that. You're vibrating a higher frequency, and life's kind of pushing you into a different situation, and there's always an uncomfortable transition that takes place in that time period, and a need for sort of faith. And, you know, if you look at Chinese wisdom, and I often refer to kind of ancient wisdom for things. If you look at their alphabet and their characters, the character for crisis is the same as opportunity. There's a lot of wisdom there, because you have to undo the foundations in order to get to a higher place. I had to do that. You know, my wife was pregnant. I left my life. I left my support system. I left my job. I left my income. I left the only thing I knew how to do or could do, and was over 400 pounds, and moved to another place when we were having a baby in a month. And that was a leap of faith that was born of desperation. But nonetheless, there was a lot of undoing and uncertainty that I had to go through to get to where I am. And that's where you're at. I feel that just from experience, not just mine, but talking to other people, you've got the same feel about you. You're changing your vibration. Your life's going to reflect that back. So
I think you're right on with that, because your boss, the situation that you talked about with your boss, is exactly what I'm going through. My boss is just one of these people that's just really vicious.
Right. So, and that's not appropriate for you anymore, given where you're at, because you're changing your vibration. So life's going to put you in a different situation, and it has to undo this. Maybe because you don't have the awareness, or you're not thinking about it, but life's doing it. Life's putting you in a different situation. So scary, confusing, but at the same time, a couple of months from now, you're going to look back, you're going to be in a different situation. Keep doing what you're doing. Don't worry about the exercise. You're changing your vibration. You're changing the way you think. You're changing the way your energy is flowing. You're changing the food that you're eating is changing your body. Your life's going to reflect that back. So keep doing what you're doing. Don't worry about the exercise.
Okay, because the question was going to be, is there a visualization for reprogramming my thinking about exercising? So you're just saying in general, keep that aside for now.
Yeah, there is. There's a get thin or get eaten exercise. And there's also, we're just finishing this GM fitness video that is going to be out in about 3 months. We'll have it out by year end, hopefully. By that time, that's a good time to get into it, and you'll have all the support you need then, because we're going to have guided specific workouts that you can try, and or how to adapt your walking or your dancing or your rowing to Gabriel Method Fitness principles, so you don't have to actually do our things. You can do your things and adapt it. And there's also going to be a pre-visualization, a pre-workout visualization, a post-visualization, a visualization you can listen to at night, some ideal recipes to eat after exercise. You'll have all the support you need. But right now, leave it alone. You're doing perfect.
Okay. Last but not least, and it's kind of related, is there anything about I think I heard somewhere along the line since July, since I've started to listen to you, that there is a correlation between overeating and overspending and finances being somewhat out of control. Right now,
go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that with this impending job loss, I'm really taking an inventory of where I am, where I have spent money during the course of this last year, where can I cut back, where should I really refocus myself to prepare for whatever the next job is.
Right.
You know, and I just wondered, can you speak more on that, the relationship between food and finance?
Keep in mind, this is the important point. So keep in mind that the relationship is not an object reality relationship. It's what's going on between your ears. So the point I'm making is, if you're worried all the time, you know, really, really worried about how to make ends meet, saving, we have to save, it can, not always, but it can sometimes make your body feel like we need to save. And the only way your body understands saving is through weight. So your body's always trying to help protect you from the stresses that it doesn't understand, and saving resources is one of them. But it doesn't mean that you can't go through what you're going through successfully, because it's really what's going on through your ears. So you can talk to somebody who's got $80 million and he's worried that he's going to lose $10 million, and he's asleep at night, and he doesn't want to spend a penny, and he's worried, and that's going to trigger that. You know, and you see people that don't have a penny to their name and don't care, and they don't have an ounce of fat on their body, because there's nothing going on in between their ears. Do you understand?
I do.
So what matters is more what's going on between your ears. And the types of visualizations that you're doing are really the answer. So you need to have some faith that you're being supported, that your life does have a purpose, it does have a meaning, and you're getting closer and closer to it every day, because you're clearing out the blockages and allowing life to guide you, and that's exactly what's happening. So you need to have faith in that, and that this is not a punishment, this is not a trial, this is not any of those things, it's just the process of change and transformation. And then also doing the abundance visualization and the living goddess, which is exactly what you're doing, are perfect ways to help you be guided and help you feel supported.
Awesome.
To me, you're ticking all the boxes. You're going through this beautifully, and I think all you need from me is the confirmation that this is a process, and it's all to bring you to a higher place. There's no bad here except for the scariness and the confusion. But the way you're navigating through it is perfect.
Excellent. Thank you. And I did need to hear that. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, great. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
That was it. Those were
okay,
the
so what? All right. So keep doing what you're doing, and let's stay in contact, because I have a feeling there's some really good things are going to be happening for you.
All righty. Thanks, John.
Okay. My pleasure. Bye. Take care. Okay, so let's talk to Carla in Melbourne. Carla, you there?
Can you hear me?
Hi.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
I'm good, thanks. Just like the last caller, I've got three questions, one easy, two a bit more in-depth, if you've got time.
I can get you the rest of the book really easy if you're in Melbourne.
Yeah. my quick question, I think it's quick, is I just bought some chocolate the other day that had polydextrose in it, which I Googled and turns out it's fiber. And it seems like it's a good thing, and it lowers the GI of the food and helps with insulin and all that stuff, but I'm just wondering, are there any nasty side effects that you're aware of that I should know about?
It's not a sugar that I recommend. I did do research on it. I don't remember exactly what it was, but it didn't impress me as a sugar that was an ideal sugar at all. Do you feel when you eat it, do you feel more energy, and then you feel kind of like lull afterwards?
No.
Yeah.
I've only just discovered it like yesterday, so I've only eaten it twice.
Okay. I'll do some more research on it, but my recollection was it was not an ideal, because I kind of went through all of them at one point, so I wasn't crazy about it at the time.
Because when I looked into it, I thought that it would be bad, because I thought, well, you know, dextrose is sugar, but then researched it was saying that it's actually undigestible, most of it. So it's actually like a fiber. It's got the same sort of classification as a fiber that you'd find in fruit and vegetables, although it's obviously not as natural as that. But the only negative thing I could find online was just that you might get some gut issues if you eat too much, in the same way that you would with xylitol, because that part of that's not digestible.
Yeah. I'm actually looking at it right now. It's saying it's an undigestible synthetic polymer of glucose. So the synthetic thing, that kind of concerns me. Because, so I'm going to want to know if it's synthetic, what it's saying is that it's not a natural sugar. So, so that means I want to know specifically what the chemical structure is before I would, recommend it. I know that I don't hear it in a lot of the health food circles, like Dr. McCullough or David Wolf never talk about it, and they're really cluey when it comes to sugars. So, this one, I'm just looking at it right now. I'm a little concerned about this one. I'm looking at a Wikipedia, but it's not showing me the chemical structure of it. But, light bees, stay light, I'm not crazy about it. I'm not crazy about it. I will do some more research, but it looks to me like it's a chemical compound. And whenever they do a chemical, like you take some of the most of the other artificial sweeteners out there are cause serious problems, either in digestion or can even activate the fat program. So I would have to do a lot of research before I put my stamp on this one. But I'm skeptical.
Okay. All right. Thank you. I also wanted to say sometimes in the morning I find that I'm not that hungry, but the problem is that if I eat later in the morning and then I eat a late lunch because I'm not hungry until later and then dinner's later and, you know, if I have an early dinner then I might feel hungry later in the evening. Like I find it hard to space meals so that I'm not hungry later at night, but I'm not also eating first thing if I'm not hungry first thing.
Okay, so how much weight are you looking to lose?
Maybe 15, 20 kilos.
Okay. And how long have you had a weight problem?
Since about 10 or 12.
Okay. All right, so you're having blood sugar issues that are common to most people that have weight issues. And you need to find a balance. Ideally for you, because you're getting hungry, the real thing is it's going to come together for you when you're not hungry at night. So if you're hungry at night, you have to keep tweaking it. Eating a late dinner may not be the answer. Eating an early dinner maybe, trying to shift it so that you are, at least for now, eating a little bit before you're in the morning, even before you're hungry. And trying to shift your meals toward earlier with some frequent snacks during the day, and maybe just like, you know, drinking a lot of water at night and having some sort of healthy snack maybe an hour after your dinner or something like that might be a good kind of solution. But I don't want to stay too focused on the food side of things because it's always sort of the symptom, you know, because this is going to fall into place. The kind of the eating thing does, as we spoke about, does fall into place when the other issues are addressed. So I would focus more on the emotional distress type of things and some of the other components and be a little bit patient, but watch for the signals so that when you are not hungry at night, you'll know that it's kicking in. Does that make sense?
Yeah. But so just in general, I mean, do you think it's, you know, if I'm, let's say it's, you know, 6 o'clock or something and I'm not that hungry, is it better to eat then anyway so that I'm eating early or to wait?
To wait till when?
Until I am. Well, I don't know.
To wait till a couple hours later
when I am hungrier. Well, the problem is that, you know, our kids go to bed at 7:30, so it's kind of either, you know, eat with them at 6 or eat later at, like, you know, 8:30 or 9.
It's much better to eat with them, but then what happens when you eat with them? Where, like, then you want to have, like, kind of have a bowl of Haagen-Dazs afterwards or something like that? Or, you know.
Not that bad. No, I'm
okay.
I just find that I get a bit hungrier later on. Not like desperately eating $10 of ice cream, just, you know, I just feel it. I just think, yeah.
Well, drink a lot of water at night, for starters. Drink a lot of water at night. And then, you know, eat at night, but look for the signs of it going away by listening to visualizations over the next month or two. Watch for the signs, because once it goes away, it means that things are happening. I think it would be much better for you to eat with your kids if you can, for so many reasons.
And I just I just wanted to ask you, the other lady who spoke first just made me think of this when she was talking about, you know, when she was a child and that the parents were telling her not to eat and so on. One of our kids gets candida, and so, you know, that feeds off sugar. So there are times that, you know, we have to say to him, no, you can't have that, it's got too much sugar in it. And he understands that logically, but obviously he doesn't like it. But I don't want him to feel deprived, but at the same time, I can't just feed him everything that he wants. Like, have you got any suggestions?
It's a real balance. Everybody has candida, by the way. It's very, very hard. It's in 80 to 90% of people have candida. They're yeast parasites from a modern day diet and from stress, and everybody has it in some form. So he's been pinpointed and targeted with that, but it's really, you know, if you look hard enough with most people, it's going to be there. Does he have a weight problem?
No, he's only 4. But the reason that we discovered it, well, he's always had gut issues and allergies and so on. And when we took him to the doctor and he was just feeling sick all the time, and that's when
So here's what I would suggest. Make sure he's getting some really good probiotics. And if he can get any kind of, you know, live food in his diet, it's really important. Things to help for digestion. So really he's got, really what it is a digestion issue. Did he take a lot of antibiotics as a kid or anything like that? At any point? Okay.
No.
So anyway, he's got a digestion issue. When you have a what's that?
I think it was since birth. He had allergies from birth. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So he's got a digestion issue. So allergies are from a digestion issue, and then when you have a digestion issue, you're going to have candida. So it's not the candida, it's the digestion issue that's the problem. Okay, so you need to do things. The real culprits when you got a digestion issue are gluten, so which is in wheat products, dairy, and table sugar. Those are the real culprits. And then obviously any kind of medication or chlorinated water, they're going to cause a problem. So these are the real culprits. And then the good things are any type of real live fruits and vegetables, live that is, and probiotics and digestive enzymes and fermented foods are kind of the good ones. So by changing things like that and getting omega-3s, it should help them. I'm really, really concerned about it getting to his head, you know, like the lady that didn't have a weight problem and all of a sudden she had a weight problem. So I am concerned about that. It would be good for you to find some healthy sweets for him, not using polydextrose, but I think coconut palm sugar, they say is an antibacteria that doesn't cause candida. So sweetening foods, Not everybody, by the way, not everybody agrees about candida, you know, about how some people are just like, you can't even have capsicum or peppers because there's too much sugar and it's going to cause candida. I mean, people get really, really extreme when it comes to candida, but my understanding of over the years is that candida is always a symptom, you know, and so focusing on that is very limited. So, some people say this and some people don't say this, but coconut palm sugar, a lot of people say, and I believe it, is a good sugar to use for kids. And it's easy on your digestion. It's antibacterial. So sweetening things with coconut water, making like banana smoothies with coconut water, or making sweets using coconut palm sugar, and definitely avoiding gluten and dairy instead, is going to help a lot.
I do use, I'll try and, you know, cook things for him, like gingerbread men or whatever, to try and give him something sweet. But I use, like, xylitol or Natvia, which is that new thing with stevia and erythritol in it, because I've heard that those things
I would mix it with a little bit of coconut palm sugar, like cut it a little bit, use a combination of them.
Do you have a problem with xylitol?
Too much xylitol can cause digestion problems, and erythritol also. I think it could, these sugar alcohols can cause digestion problems if they're taken too much. But more importantly, what type of grain are you using for the gingerbread men?
Almond meal.
Okay. Yeah, all right, so I would work in that direction. And you can make chocolate things, you know, you can make like, The Hungry for Change people had a really good recipe for a chocolate mousse made out of avocado, organic unsweetened cacao, and coconut palm sugar, or you can use dates as a sweetener, and kids love it. It's creamy, it's chocolatey.
Wouldn't dates be very intense in terms of sweetener?
Yeah, dates are. I don't personally use the dates. I use the coconut palm sugar. But try it with coconut palm sugar. I'm just concerned, you know, I'm concerned that a 4-year-old kid, you know, you're gonna get in his head and it's gonna be a huge problem. So you gotta balance this out. It's not, candida is not the only problem. It's a symptom and you need to balance it out.
Yep. His biggest craving is rice milk and Weet-Bix, which is, you know, sugar and gluten.
Yeah.
All mixed up together,
yeah, yeah.
You know, but I mean, you can't really find a, you know, substitute for that.
Well, I guess you can, and you can with like coconut water and a kind of like a granola made more of nuts and seeds and coconut palm sugar. That's going to be better. It's not perfect, but it's going to be better. They're better sugars. There's no gluten. They're better for you. So, like in our recipe book, we've got a kind of a granola that we make with nuts and seeds and coconut palm sugar. You might want to check that out. And then I would serve it with coconut water as opposed to rice milk.
Okay, thank you.
Sure. Okay. All right. Let's talk to Heather in Perth, please.
Hi, John.
Hi.
Hello.
Yeah,
hi, John. I've got a couple of questions. I really want to follow the cellular release therapy way, because I just know to the core of my being that's my big issue.
Yeah.
And I think it goes right back to when I was about 10 or 11, when my father was seriously ill and died when I was 11.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I've got a huge amount of stress in the moment because I've got, I'm going through a marriage separation and, yeah.
Yeah. I understand.
I just wanted to ask you, who would you recommend I go and see as a cellular release therapist?
So basically we have a network of them that are run by this lady, Paula Robbins. So if you go to, if you email help@thegabrielmethod.com, they'll put you in touch with, so help@thegabrielmethod.com.
Yep.
You got to put the "the" in there, so help@thegabrielmethod.com. Yeah. So if you just email them, I'm sorry?
I just say that I'm looking for, you know, some cellular release therapy.
Yeah, they're going to put you in touch with the team, and the team's going to assign you. They're all good. There's six or seven of them, and they're all highly trained and very effective.
Right. So would that be over the phone, or would it be in person?
Yeah, they do it over. Ideally, they do it over Skype. Do you Skype at all?
Yep.
Okay, so that's all they need is Skype. They just need to see you. When they're doing the visualization, they need to see your finger. In Skype, you raise your finger like as a yes, one finger as a no. You know, like they need to interact with you that way, and that's all they need.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. So now that was one thing. The other thing is that you suggested to me that I take a break in the afternoon, also been mentioned on your in the last group meeting. I just find that really difficult because of the way I work. I only work like some days in the afternoons. I'm only there for 4 hours anyway, so it's sort of really not appropriate for me to be taking, a big chunk out of that going in my car and meditating sort of thing. So just wondering what else I could do in the afternoon.
Did you say you only work Sunday? Is that what you said?
No. I work some days. In the afternoons, I do.
Yeah. All right. So if that's all you're doing, then I would do the break afterwards. I would take the break afterwards. You know, after you're done working. Yeah. Ideally, it's before you get home. You know.
Right.
Like if you can have right after work. Can you have a snack though during that 4-hour period?
Oh yeah, yeah, I can take a snack break, and I make up those lovely chocolate ball things.
Yeah, right, so a healthy snack break, good. So a healthy snack break, and then, like, as soon as you get into your car, if you could just be in a parking lot and do, like, a visualization or go for a walk or something, just something before you go home. Because by the time you go home with rush hour and everything, you're just going to be all stressed out. You're going to be making the wrong choices.
Oh, and the atmosphere in my home is very strained at the moment. So
right. So, then all the more reason.
When I got out of the car, sorry to interrupt you. Before I got out of the car, I just did a visualization. I just brought the column of light down and the angel wings just to give me something to protect me to get into the house sort of thing.
If you can park by. Where do you live in Perth? Do you live near the water at all?
I do. I live in Mosman Park.
Yeah. So if you can sit on a park bench by. If you can sit on the park bench by the water and listen to a visualization, and ideally if you can go for a swim afterwards, that would be primo. But if you can just sit in the sun and listen to a visualization, that would be beautiful.
Right, because I was thinking I really sort of ideally needed to do it sort of mid-afternoon. It just doesn't work.
No, I understand. If you're only working four hours, it's not appropriate, and you don't need it.
Mm.
But you do need a snack to keep your blood sugar stable.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Well, have a couple of courses with the cellular release therapist, and let's talk and let's see where you're going, because it sounds
right.
like you're getting rid of a lot of emotions. So
I did. I had a week or so ago. I just cried all the time, and I felt like I was letting stuff out that needed to come out. I read a greeting card, and I'd be tearing up. And I'm working to get out of this very difficult situation, but it's taking
keep what you're doing. It's like I was saying the other day, when you change your life, your outside life changes, and it reflects back. So when you go to a more positive place internally, you're naturally going to be put in a more positive place externally.
Because you tend to sort of think it the other way around. When I'm not in this environment, things will be better.
It's the opposite. It's always the opposite. You got to come to a more positive place internally, which is exactly what you're doing right now. The emotion, the letting go, the releasing, it's unblocking so that you're really coming from a higher place, a higher
mm-hmm.
vibration, and that's going to change your outer external situation.
And I've also been doing some acupuncture, which I've been finding really been very good for that sort of emotional release, because I never thought that.
That's great.
This is
good. That's really beautiful. That's excellent.
Yeah.
That's so cool. What's that? I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
I was going to look into the Qigong as well. Doing something like that. Mm.
Excellent. Excellent. We're actually in the process of editing a Qi Kung for weight loss program, so that's coming out in the next couple of months too. So, anyway, good. So it sounds like
right.
some very positive things.
Okay. Thanks, John.
All right. Take care. Bye.
Heather. Bye.
Okay. All right. Let's talk to Sue in Sydney, please.
Hi.
Hi, Sue.
Just a couple of questions, John. I was thinking about wheatgrass. Are these sorts of things really necessary, or can you just eat in salads the type of micronutrients
they're a way of getting green, but if you can eat enough salad, that's fine, that's great. As long as you're eating real greens and preferably organic, then that's great. Yeah, no, I don't do wheatgrass anymore. Although I do a lot of green juices when I can, getting real food is really what it's about.
Yeah, so just a salad should be enough. And the other thing is that people have been talking about stress and you've been talking about sort of like cellular release stuff and all that sort of thing. All of that's fine, but what happens, like, can you really do all this stuff when you have situations in your life where that stress is ongoing? So will that really prevent you from letting the weight go?
No. Like I said, stress is always about what's going on in between your ears, not what's going on outside of you. So even though there's no question that some people are in much harder situations than others, you do see situations where people are in really easy situations. I mean, you see millionaires that were born millionaires that are totally stressed out, depressed, drugged out, and suicidal. You know, so changing what's going on in your body is more important and will actually help with the outside situation in a lot of ways. But doing visualizations, what they found is that it rewires your brain chemistry so that you don't feel stress the same way. It actually inhibits signals to and from a part of your brain called the amygdala, which is the seat of fear and aggression. So with those signals being inhibited, you're not feeling it the same way. It's not causing the same chemistry in the same way. And from a weight loss perspective, that's really, really crucial. It's the chemistry that you're causing in your body more so than anything. So, yes, the answer is absolutely, regardless of the stress situation you're in, from an external perspective, you can change your body's chemistry so that it can be more geared toward losing weight by doing all the things that we recommend doing, adding more omega-3s because that affects your brain chemistry, doing visualization, having more live food, et cetera. But what you also find is as you have more energy and clarity, you find more creative solutions to your life situations, and you find more energy to solve your life situations so that you typically do find yourself in a better situation anyway. But even if you didn't, you're still going to be able to lose weight. Does that make sense?
All right. Okay. And just a couple of very quick questions about food ones. Why is honey, which is a natural food, not okay? Because I know it has a different structure to, you know, like table
honey,
sugar,
honey,
just normal sugar.
Okay, so most sugars elevate your blood sugar too quickly, which elevates your hormone insulin, which is the fat-making hormone, which puts your body in kind of this perpetual fat-making situation above and beyond the amount of calories that you're eating. So honey can do that more so than, for example, some of these other sugars we're talking about, xylitol, stevia, erythritol, coconut palm sugar, et cetera. That being said, if the honey is raw, unprocessed honey, it's actually healthier than any of these other sugars. It can be a very healthy thing when it's mixed in moderation with lots of fiber and protein and omega-3 fatty acids. So as long as you're not overkill on it, as long as it's not like tasting like one of those Turkish or Greek baklava type of sweet type of, what are the, you know, those Danishy type of Greek food, Greek sweet food, Dalskin honey, you know, as long as it's not over the top, then I would say if honey is what you want to use, make sure it's raw and unprocessed, and it should be okay.
Is raw and unprocessed, that's not the honey you buy in the supermarket, or?
No, not necessarily, but you can get it in some supermarkets. It'll say raw, unprocessed, but you can also get it in health food stores, or if you go to any kind of, bee farm or honey winery or something like that, they'll always have it there, too. So it's worth looking into. Yeah.
Okay, thanks. I'd like to use that to give my son too. He doesn't have a weight problem, but he does have a sweet tooth.
That's a different story. I agree with you 100%. For a kid that doesn't have a weight problem, unprocessed honey is the best thing in the world. So yeah.
Okay,
definitely.
I'll do that then. Okay, thanks a lot.
Excellent. You're welcome. Take care, sir. Okay, so let's talk to Marianne in Dallas.
Hi there.
Hi, Marianne.
Thanks for taking my call. I am relatively new to your program and I felt for some time that I have been my own worst enemy. And when I read your book, I thought, yeah, this makes a ton of sense. So initially, I kind of was a little bit slow getting into doing like the visualizations. I kind of wasn't connecting to them that much, but then I started getting in the routine, and lo and behold, sort of miraculously, just as you described, weight started to come off. And I started to get my mood was really lifted. I got really excited. I started to have this really positive anticipation of the future because I've been struggling with, I would guess, 40 to 50 extra pounds. I haven't weighed myself in years, so the only time I get weight is when I go to a doctor's office. And so I actually was sort of imagining with a great deal of joy taking a beach vacation again and, you know, wearing a sundress and things like that. And then it was like a switch turned in my head. And I was doing all the visualizations. I started doing the morning visualization. I could conjure up the ball of light, and I could imagine myself dancing around on the beach and feeling so happy that I looked so good in a sundress and that people were going, boy, doesn't she look healthy and confident? And then a switch turned in my head, and I started to think, oh, maybe this doesn't really work.
Yeah.
And literally within the last 2 weeks, I've gained every bit back that I had lost. So I don't know. I lost 5 to 10 pounds, I would guess, and I think it's all back. And it's all in my head. I know that. So I continue to do the evening visualizations. I try to do the morning visualization, and honestly, I cannot even conjure up the ball of light anymore. It's just like all I can see is darkness.
Mm-hmm.
And
I'm not worried at all. I'm not worried at all. Because I don't think it's just your belief systems that I think your belief systems kind of kicked in. But you can assign too much belief to your belief systems.
Uh-huh.
If you know what I mean.
Uh-huh.
What I'm saying is you can assign too much power to them. So
yeah.
So yes, those type of things going to happen. But there's usually something behind it. You know, something behind it, like you lost the weight, but whatever it was that was causing the weight to be on you, whatever that was, then that more kicked in, and then the idea followed. Does that make sense?
I don't think it's
your belief systems that are sabotaging you. I think something else happened, and how much weight are you looking to lose?
I'm guessing it's going to be somewhere 40 pounds, maybe 50 pounds. I don't really know how much I weigh, and I don't really know how much I should weigh, you know.
Okay.
I can think back to what I was like in college.
Okay. And how long have you had that?
Yeah. I'm 60. I've been putting weight on since my 40s relative to quitting smoking and chronic job stress, but really my big weight gain has been in the last 10 years, and it came after a job loss in a highly, highly stressful environment. I'm now in a very non-stressful environment. I have a wonderful life.
Right,
I'm retired, a wonderful husband, and all that good stuff.
Yeah. All right. So if that's the case, then yeah. So there was a kind of like an issue, a trauma, and that happened 10 years ago. That kicked in, and that's still coming back. So you lose a little weight, and something kind of kicks that in, and that's really what's happening here, and that's kind of common. So even though you're in a great situation now, there's that sort of that past trauma. So listening to the safe and protective visualization and the abundance visualization, just to reinforce that's gone and that's away would be a really effective thing for you to
but
do.
But if I can't conjure that sleeve of light that's going to come down around me, that's so
don't
weird.
Don't worry about it. It'll come back.
I can't conjure it all up.
Otherwise it's just going to give it too much power, and then you're going to make something real that's not real. You know what I mean? It's not really real. It's just your safety mechanism's kicking in.
Right.
So
stay
relaxed. Keep feeling safe. Keep doing the visualizations. Don't pay any attention to it whatsoever, and just act like the whole thing never happened, and just leave it alone.
And one quick other question is, I have for about the last 5 years been eating extremely healthfully because I was really approaching my whole weight and some other health issues that if I correct my digestion, if I correct my nutrition, all that should be good, you know, and a lot has improved. A tremendous amount has improved, but the weight has not come off.
But keep in mind, you gain the weight after. All right, we'll keep going. What was the question?
Yeah, well, so my question is, the way I have been eating is pretty low carbs, but not so much. I never count carbs. I never count calories. I just say, hey, certain foods aren't good for me, and I don't eat them, and I eat very few sugars, very few starches, et cetera. So what I'm wondering is do you think that could be contributing a sense of famine that I have been making those sort of restrictions in my diet? Should I just loosen up? I don't eat any gluten, and I'm not going back there at all. But
No. I just think this is all about safety for you. I think you have to prioritize your issues, and all the digestion issues came after the weight issues or after the safety issue. You had this trauma. You went through it. You started gaining weight. There's still residuals of that. It hasn't totally been worked out, but it will. So I don't think it's about you causing a famine in your body. Yeah, there's the digestion issues, but you're working through those. I just think there's some residual stress and trauma mm-hmm. issues that on a cellular level your body's got to work through.
Okay. So you think mainly by working with the coach and the visualization, I should be able to get past
that? The safe and protected, the safe and protected visualization and the abundance visualization, I think, are important ones for you.
Okay, great.
As well as, you know, the evening one at night, okay?
Okay, I appreciate your help.
My pleasure.
Okay. Thank you.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye. Okay, so that's all the time we have for this show. Deb, I'll call you in 10 minutes. We had one more caller. That was Deb. I'll call her back. So we have hopefully we've been able to answer everyone's questions. So we're doing these calls every 2 weeks now. So that we can access the different time zones. So check my office hours if you have any other questions for me. Keep working with your coaches. Make sure you do the visualizations. And it's a real pleasure to connect with everyone. So thanks very much for being on the call. And we'll speak to you all soon. Take care.